Would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're beginning this morning in verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. This is God's Word. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired Word. First of all, who is Jesus speaking to in this passage? Go back and look at the beginning of the chapter. See who the audience was. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying. So when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, is he talking to the crowds, or is he talking to his disciples? He's talking to his disciples. That's very important. Because there's a very popular notion in our world today that, well, we're all children of God. We're all His sons and daughters. And Christ is in everyone. And that's why if I see someone in need, that's Christ. And I'm to just do what I can for them and know that I'm doing that for Christ. Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't be nice to people who don't know Jesus. I'm just saying you shouldn't tell lies and think that you're being spiritual. Jesus looked at a bunch of religious people and he didn't say to them, well, you are children of God. He said, you are children of your father, the devil. Not everybody has been born again into the family of God. Don't think that everybody is, or you'll make a grave mistake. And it's not because you won't have an elevated enough opinion of them. It's because you cannot help somebody if you don't realize their predicament. You can't do something to benefit others if you don't know what they need. If I go to the doctor and the doctor tells me, hey, you look great for a man your age. I think you're fine. We don't need to run any tests. I'm not even going to take your temperature or check your blood pressure because I don't want to make you uncomfortable. I think the best thing I can do for you, the best medicine is a good attitude. I just want to encourage you. You're doing fine. Keep up the good work. He's not a good doctor. Not behaving like a doctor at all. A doctor probes, checks, looks, analyzes. And if he finds that my blood pressure is high, he doesn't say, these things happen. He says, hey, your blood pressure's up. We need to do something about that. If he finds that I have a tumor over here in my neck, as I once had, he doesn't say, it's all right, just look the other way. If there's a problem, it needs to be addressed. Let me tell you something. The Bible is very clear that there is a problem with humanity. We've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We deserve to be destroyed. And God, in His mercy, offers salvation to all who trust in Jesus Christ. But if you act as if everything's fine, if you're just a human, you're a child of God. You have really missed a whole lot of what Scripture says, and you're not going to help people that way. You might be popular, but you won't be helpful. So be clear here that when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. He's not talking to everybody. He's talking to His disciples. I hope that's clear. Second thing I want you to see is this. Jesus doesn't say to these folks, and for this I'm indebted to Stuart Briscoe, but Stuart got it right, and it's right there in the text. Jesus doesn't say to the folks who are there, you know what this world needs? This world needs salt. This is a world that is filled with rottenness, filled with decay. We need more salt. This is a dark place. This world needs light. I'm here today asking, how many of you would be willing to be salt, to be light? That's what this world needs. I'm calling on you. Will you be salt? Will you be light? Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't ask us to become something we're not. He tells us something about who we are. He says to His disciples, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The question is not who you are if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. The question is, are you going to do what you're supposed to do, what you were put here for? That's where you have to make a decision. But it's not a decision about becoming something that you aren't. It's a decision about manifesting what you are. When I was in my teens, I went to hear a preacher named Stephen Alford, who was a favorite preacher of mine. I used to listen to him on the radio all the time when I was a kid. And I saw him right before the service where he was going to preach, and I asked him what he was preaching on. And he said, My text is, woe unto you, ye hypocrites. And I thought, man, that's going to be good. He's going to really nail them tonight. Well, he got out there and he nailed me. The more he described what a hypocrite is, the more I realized that's me. I was horrified. Here's what he said. He said, we often think of hypocrites as being somebody who pretends to be good when they're not. They pretend to be a Christian, but they're not really trusting Christ. He said, but that's not the only kind of hypocrite there is. He said, you are just as much a hypocrite if you are a Christian and you don't live like it. If in certain situations, certain contexts, around certain people, you hide your light under a bushel. Look at what Jesus says here. You are the light of the world, verse 14. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus says that we're supposed to shine, not hide our light. You see, I wasn't a wolf in sheep's clothing. Do you know what a wolf in sheep's clothing is? That's a bad dude pretending to be one of the flock so that it can get into the flock of sheep and kill sheep and eat them. All right? A wolf in sheep's clothing. You need to know that expression. A wolf in sheep's clothing. I was not a wolf in sheep's clothing. When I was 14 years old, I was a sheep in wolf's clothing. I was a kid who loved Jesus, but around certain people, I wanted to appear cool. I wanted to be tough. I wanted people to think I was a little scary, a little edgy. I'd gotten my growth spurt. I was starting to develop a few hairs on my chest. I didn't have to shave real often, but I knew how to shave. I was actually having to use deodorant. It's always a good sign. Manhood is there. I wanted people to think that I was edgy. Guess what? I was a hypocrite. I was hiding my light under a bushel. I would actually talk to these people over here about the Lord. I actually cared about lost people, but I wanted people to think I was tough. God delivered me. Not going to go into the whole story this morning, but I'll tell you this. A huge turning point in my life was that sermon by Stephen Alford. Because I realized I was living like a hypocrite. That in certain contexts, I was deliberately not letting my light shine. I was trying to appear something I was not in order to fit in with people who were not following Jesus. Jesus says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." Think about it. Would Jesus ever call anybody worthless? Would Jesus ever say, "Good for nothing"? Oh no, I can't imagine Jesus using that kind of words. That's harsh. Jesus uses those words right here. But he doesn't use it about lost people. Please understand this. Jesus doesn't look at lost people and say, "Those people are good for nothing. They are worthless." Jesus says that about disciples who don't behave like disciples. Disciples who live like the world. This morning, I cooked eggs for breakfast. I added pink Himalayan salt from a little grinder. It's one of the things that's now popular. Okay? Imagine if someone replaced my pink Himalayan salt with just some pink sand from Bermuda. Okay? That just tastes like it has sand in it. It doesn't have any salt flavor. It's just grit. This is worthless. Sometimes I suspect they've done that. Let me tell you something. The whole purpose of salt is to change its environment. The whole purpose of salt is not just to be in the shaker. There was a book by InterVarsity, published by InterVarsity a number of years back, called Out of the Salt Shaker. In other words, Christians have got to stop just hanging out together and not having any contact with the world. We've got to get out into the world. We've got to be dispersed. We've got to have impact. But folks, that is only true if we stay true to our character in Christ. If we get out there in the world and just totally blend in and don't have any difference between us and them, because we don't want to seem weird, you know, I mean, we don't want to. See, that was my problem when I was 14. I just wanted to fit in. I desperately wanted to fit in, to be popular, to be liked. Stupid, stupid, stupid. What is your goal? Do you actually care about the people that you're making contact with? Or are you just trying to get them to like you so you can feel better about yourself? Jesus says, if the salt loses its savor, its flavor, its character, it's worthless. It's worthless. The only thing it's good for is to be thrown on the ground and walked on. That's not the way I want my life to be. I want my life to have value. I want my life to make a difference. In order to make a difference, we've got to be true to our character in Christ. You are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Well, you know, it adds flavor. Yeah. It does. Christians ought to add flavor. We ought to spice things up. We ought to make things better. One of the ways that salt is most valuable and was certainly used in biblical times, it still is today, we just don't necessarily recognize it as much because we have other ways of doing the same thing. Salt was used to preserve from decay. You could take a piece of meat and salt it real well and hang it up and let it dry, and then all winter long go out there and slice a little bit off of that ham. It was salt cured. You prevented decay with salt. That's one of the main reasons why salt is still used in canning. Still today. Because it helps arrest the growth of bacteria. So, as believers, we're supposed to, in the world around us, stand against evil. Stand against the decay. But if we just become like the world around us, if we just try and fit in, the world is going to rot. And it won't be the fault of the non-Christians. It'll be the fault of the Christians for just trying to fit in. You understand? We're supposed to be salty salt. Another thing, by the way, that salt does is it creates thirst. It makes people thirsty. Even makes animals thirsty. They lick that salt block. Next thing you know, they're going to be over there drinking, which is good. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, give him some salt. He'll drink. He'll drink. And if you and I are what we should be and behaving the way that we should in this culture, some people are going to get thirsty and they're going to say, what is it about you? What has happened to your life? Why are you different? I've told the story countless times of the guy who came out of his child's hospital room to ask my wife, who was rocking our son in the hall just before surgery, how can you be so happy and so peaceful when your child is going through this? That was an honest question. But you see, he was seeing something in her that he didn't have in himself, and he wanted to understand it. And he wanted to have it. It just didn't make sense to him. He had seen our family going through crisis with our son, who repeatedly was at death's door. And in the midst of it, he saw a peace and a joy that he had never experienced. Let me tell you something, folks. If we are salty salt, it'll make people thirsty. It'll cause people to want the living water. But Jesus says, we must not lose our saltiness. He says, you're the light of the world. And he says, let your light shine. Let it shine. Remember, maybe as a kid singing the song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It's a good song, actually. It's good theology. I'm going to let it shine. You don't have to work it up. Oh, Lord, I'm going to get psyched here. I'm going to try. You know, that's not what it's about. It's not pretending to shine. It's not being artificial. You don't have to work it up. Jesus says that the one who trusts in Him, out of his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. And it says He's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's not just a well. It's not something you pump. God, if we trust Him, will shine His light through us. I thought Jesus was the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, and guess where He lives? He lives in us. He's talking to His disciples here. He's not talking to the world. He's not saying,
yes, those people out there in the Midwest. I've been out there. I've seen. I've talked to the farmers. I've traveled all across this land, and I'll tell you something about those people in the Midwest. They are the salt of the earth.
Well, some of them are. Some of them are just as perverted as anybody in the darkest part of an inner city where they don't know the Lord. Are you saying that people in the inner city don't know the Lord? No, I'm saying it's not about geography. It's not about income. It's not about education. It's about whether or not you know Jesus. If you know Jesus and you live in the inner city, you are the light of the world there in the inner city. If you know Jesus, you are the light of the world in the middle of a wheat field in Kansas. I was talking yesterday to a guy I interviewed for the radio show, a guy who grew up in the middle of the wheat fields in Kansas. Mennonite boy, sitting on a tractor in the middle of a wheat field in Kansas. He's now allergic to wheat, which I think is hilarious. But too much of a good thing. But sitting there on the tractor, God put a dream in his heart. And the dream was to go to Hollywood and be an actor. He had no role models. He hadn't seen, you know, other Christians in that arena. And he said it was the weirdest thing. And his family couldn't understand it. It didn't make any sense to them. Why would he feel like that he's supposed to be an actor? What's wrong with you, boy? You know, I mean, why? But that's what God had in mind for him. And guess what? He went to Hollywood and became an actor and a successful actor. But that wasn't enough because he hadn't gone to Hollywood just to act. He went to Hollywood to follow Jesus. He's now one of the co-founders of that company, PureFlix. If you're not familiar with PureFlix, you need to find out about it because they're putting out good movies. You may have heard of the movie God's Not Dead. Come on, you've seen the movie God's Not Dead. Sit there. That's the guy who produced that movie. He started out in the wheat fields of Kansas, and God said, I want your light to shine for me in Hollywood. Let me tell you something. When you are the salt of the earth, when you are the light of the world, it doesn't matter where you go. You are going to be salty and you are going to shine. Is that clear? Well, I don't know that I could ever do that in a place like Hollywood. Well, God may not be calling you to Hollywood. Matter of fact, I would suggest that God is probably not calling most of you to Hollywood. But wherever you are, the thing about real salt and the thing about real light is it changes the environment, not vice versa. Darkness cannot overcome the light. Light overcomes darkness. If there's a light shining and you want to go to sleep, you have to turn off the light in order for darkness to envelop the space. You can't say, oh, we need to bring some more dark in here, would you? You can't do that. The nature of darkness is it's the absence of light. So you can't bring in the darkness. Sometimes it feels that way, but that's not what happens. Folks, if you and I are true to our faith, if we will trust the Lord and do as He says, then no matter where we go, no matter who we're around, if we're simply true to Him, we will shine. Now, later in the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of chapter 6, Jesus is going to say, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. But here he says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
I'm sorry. My brain is now in a knot. I don't know what to do. Am I supposed to let my good works be seen? Or am I not supposed to let my good works be seen? Here it says, let your light shine.
I'm glad you asked that question. When he says, let your light shine, he's not saying, be a show-off. I'll give you one of the simplest, most practical examples that I've encountered over and over again with other believers across the years. I hope that you are in the habit of thanking God for your food before you eat. Got it? I hope that that's just habitual with you because you're grateful. Not because you're trying to be pious, but simply because you're grateful. You realize that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're expressing the attitude Jesus tells us we should have, which is one of recognizing that we are entirely dependent on Him for everything. So when you sit down and there's food to eat, you say, thank you, Lord, for this food. If you do that, and then you go out into the world, let's say to McDonald's or Cracker Barrel or wherever you go to dine, and you go into a... I don't think we ought to do that here. What? I don't think we ought to pray before the meal. People might say, notice. So I see believers in restaurants kind of going... like they got to scratch their forehead all of a sudden. Okay? Then they'll talk to each other about other stuff, but when it's time for the prayer, they're going to do... because they don't want to... Okay, that's crazy. That is just stupid. If I went to a restaurant with my wife, you'd think I'd say, oh, you sit over there. I don't want people to know we're together. I love my wife. My wife gets to go with me to a restaurant. I don't walk into the restaurant and say, hey everybody, I'm Jim Wood. I just wanted to introduce my wife, Susan. Well, in the same way, before I pray, I don't stand up and say, excuse me everyone, I'm about to return thanks to God for this meal. I just want to invite all of you who are here right now to stop what you're doing, bow your head with me, and let's offer thanks to God, shall we? I don't do that. I've never done that in my life. That'd be nuts. That's not a witness. That's a repellent. Okay? But I'm not going to drop my voice so that nobody hears me. We can talk again in normal tones after the blessing. But right now we're just going to pray real quietly, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for this food. Thank you for giving us food. Please help us to be a witness for you. Come on! Just talk to God. He's your Father. Thank Him for the food. Is that clear? So don't hide it under a bushel, but don't do it for the purpose of attention. That's what Jesus says at the start of chapter 6. Your goal is not to try and get everybody, hey, look at me, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Watch the way I walk. Just walk. Just live. Just shine. The light doesn't need a band to back it up. Okay? It just shines. It just shines. And that's what God wants His children to do in this world. Just shine for Him. Just be who God made you to be. Realize that He's put you where He wants you, and in that place, you're to shine for Him. Just be true. Don't be phony. You don't have to be phony. You are the light of the world. You don't have to pretend to be the light of the world. I'm going to try to figure out what it looks like to shine, and then I'm going to try to... No, just be true to Jesus. Just love Him. Thank Him for what He's done in your life. Just be honest with people. When somebody says, "So, what are you so happy about?" Tell them. You understand? You don't have to pretend, "Well, what if I'm not feeling happy?" Well, then just rejoice in the Lord. Okay? Got it? Let me tell you something. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. What's our takeaway statement today? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much that You don't ask us to pretend. You change us from the inside out. Help us to love You, really, really love You, and just be honest witnesses for You, not wolves in sheep's clothing and not sheep in wolves' clothing, just true to who we are, Your sheep, following Your voice. Thank You, great Shepherd, for having loved us to the point of laying down Your life for us. Grant that we would now follow You and lay down our lives for You. And we'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.